It is an honor and a privilege to welcome you to Joy Fellowship Church, a place where you and your family can discover purpose and fulfillment in worship and other ministries. Our desire is that you will experience at Joy Fellowship Church the hope that gives new life, the hope that enables you to build stronger relationships, the hope that leads into the future, and the hope that is anchored in Jesus Christ.
Created for a purpose. Finding that purpose and living it out day by day is the difference between a thriver or a mere survivor. It's the difference between greatness and mediocrity. It's the difference between success and then settling for second best. You were created for a purpose. When you get plugged into it, you get on fire. And it empowers you and you set your whole world on fire. This evening, we're beginning a new series. And it's through the book of Romans. It's called A Testament of Faith in Action. I'm excited about this series because Romans is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Most books in the New Testament focus on a specific theme. For instance, 1 Peter is about suffering. And Ephesians is about the church, and Philippians is about joy, and Galatians is about spiritual freedom. But the theme of Romans is harder to put your finger on because it takes in a whole realm of subjects in the New Testament, and it covers practically everything. You know, Paul's other letters were written to churches that he had planted. Paul wrote this letter to a church that he had never visited at this time, the church in Rome. Now, his intention, of course, was to visit them someday. And so he wanted to send this letter ahead of his arrival so they would know something about him and certainly something about his message. And since he was going to visit Jerusalem first, there was this possibility of danger that awaited him. And he knew that there was a chance that he might not ever get to Rome. And so in this letter, he summarizes here his beliefs and the truths that he had come to know in the 25 years or so that he had spent following Christ. And you could say that the theme of Romans then is everything you need to know about following Christ. Paul talks about what you need to believe. He talks about what your theology should be and what your doctrine should be. He talks about what believers needed to know about getting along with one another. He talks about how to deal with sin, how to experience victory. He talks about how to make use of your spiritual gifts. He talks about his purpose and calling in life. And how we also, all of us, have received a commission from God. And this is where we're going to begin this evening. Paul's life was a goal-driven life. And when we talk about goal-driven life, from Romans, the first seven verses, when we talk about goal, we mean goal, God-ordained area of leadership. God-ordained area of leadership. This goal became Paul's all-consuming purpose. It made him who he was. In the same way, God has a goal in mind for you. There is an area of leadership that he wants you to pursue. He wants you to be consumed with a purpose just like the Apostle Paul. And Paul was consumed with the idea of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, planting new churches and bringing in converts and teaching new believers and training church leaders. And this was his all-consuming passion, his all-consuming purpose. And it was his God-ordained area of leadership. You also have a God-ordained area of leadership. You know, if you serve in the church in an area of ministry, God is preparing you for leadership at some level. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be the top dog, But it does mean that God wants you to grow to the point that you can handle responsibility and you can help others bring them to find their goal and fulfillment in Christ. And so this evening we're going to talk about your goal and what it will mean for your life. When you develop a goal-oriented lifestyle, you'll find yourself on the fast track to success in the eyes of God. And so there are three reasons why. First of all, having a goal defines your identity. Having a goal defines your identity. It tells you who you are. You know, look how it worked for Paul. Notice what he says about himself. You know, ancient letters used to begin with people putting their name first. The author would write his name first here. But Romans begins this way in verse 1. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now I want you to notice three key words here in this. These three key words are bondservant, called, and set apart. And the word bondservant is also translated slave. Paul is saying, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm completely owned by Him. I'm at His beck and call. And then he says that he's called. And this means being chosen by God for a specific task. And it compares to being drafted or being recruited. You know, every year thousands of athletes make themselves available for the NFL draft. But only a very few actually are drafted and recruited. Have you ever been recruited? Has someone ever come to you and said, we got a job that needs to be done, and we think you're the best one to do it? That's what God said to Paul about his mission, and that's what he's saying to you about your mission. Paul also used a phrase here, set apart, and he said he was set apart for the gospel of God. And in Galatians 1:15, Paul says this, that God set me apart from birth and called me by His grace. He's saying, for this one thing I have lived, to tell others about Jesus Christ. You also have been set apart by God for a purpose. Do you know what it is? Do you know your God-ordained area of leadership? You know, once you nail that down, the pieces of your life come together. Now, pursuing your God-ordained area of leadership puts you on the fast track then of this God-ordained success. And so I challenge you to allow these three words to define your identity. Consider yourself a slave or a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. Consider yourself called, recruited, or chosen, or drafted. You know, God has something in mind for you. Your life isn't about living according to your own whims and aspirations. It's about fulfilling His purpose for your life. And consider yourself set apart. Consider yourself a tool to be used for one specific purpose. I remember once watching some kids using jumper cables to play skip rope, you know? And it was a little funny to see. But that's not what jumper cables are for. You know, you can buy a jump rope at Walmart for maybe $3, or you can even go to Dollar Tree and buy one for a buck. But a good set of cables, jumper cables, cost about $30. And while it's possible to jump rope with jumper cables, it's just not the best use of the resource. Jumper cables were made for a much more important purpose, getting a car started. The jumper cables are a valuable tool that serve a useful purpose. And it's foolish to use them for a children's game. Now guess what? The same can be said about you. You have been set apart for a purpose, a God-ordained area of leadership. To do anything less with your life is to miss out on God's best for you. So let your goal determine your identity. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I live for. It defines me. Now, secondly, having a goal determines your influences. Having a goal determines your influences. And this means it shapes what you care about. Notice what Paul said here. He set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. One of Paul's major influences can be best described as the big picture. Now, he recognized that the gospel of Jesus Christ was God's plan for the ages. God has a purpose in history. There's a big picture to be seen here. And Paul's ambition wasn't just to achieve success for himself. It was about getting plugged into God's eternal plan. Some people want merely to build a life for themselves. You know, to have a decent job, to have a nice home, to put away a little nest egg for retirement, and then die. For them, that's enough. They think that's the American dream. You know? Paul was influenced by something much greater, not just the idea of changing history, but the idea of changing eternity. He saw how his work was connected to the big picture. Your God-ordained area of leadership is also connected to the big picture. You know, if you're teaching a Bible class that has third graders in it, and you try to keep them entertained for a few minutes, or undoubtedly that's part of the task, you know, or maybe trying to keep them quiet for 30 minutes. But your real purpose for being there is to plant seeds in their lives through your teaching, through your loving care. That will take root of them and help shape their destinies there. Many of us have been influenced by a teacher somewhere that taught us the Bible that's made the difference for us. Paul was also influenced by the Scriptures. He's saying in verse 2 that the Scriptures reveal God's plan for the ages. Do you know what this tells us? That if you live a goal-oriented lifestyle, you listen to what the Scriptures say, pay attention to the Bible, let it influence what you think, then you're going to excel in your God-ordained area of leadership. You'll be influenced by this. And it reveals God's plan for the ages. He has a purpose for his people. He has a goal that determines your influences. And then thirdly, having a goal drives your imagination. And by this, I mean it expands your vision, your horizons. You know, it broadens everything. It inspires you to consider new possibilities. In verse 5, he says, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sakes. Paul's intention, his objective, was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile nations. This was his goal, his God-ordained area of leadership. This goal was the driving force behind everything they did and every place that he went. Paul wrote this letter of Romans from the city of Corinth. And from there, he planned to go to Jerusalem, deliver some money that he had collected from the other churches. And then from Jerusalem, he intended to go to Rome. From Rome, he intended then to go on to Spain to plant churches there. Rome would be an ideal base for his outreach into Western Europe. And the Roman church would have been an ideal position here to help him do that. Paul was always thinking ahead. You know, he was always looking to the future. Now, what can I do next? Where can I go next? You know, how can I accomplish my mission? So if I write this letter to the church in Rome, I can help them become solid in the faith, and I can encourage them to become missional in their approach, and maybe they will share my vision then for taking the gospel into Spain. When you have a goal, it does the same thing. It fuels your imagination. You begin to see things far beyond the present circumstances. And instead of thinking about the present, you begin to think about the future. And what if we took another step further? You know, what does God want me to do next? You know, about 25 years ago, Rick Warren started a church in Orange County, California. And it became a successful ministry. And Rick Warren could have spent his years in just the ministry of that church, just serving that one congregation. His imagination was sparked, however, by the idea that his ideas and the ideas that they used there at that church might help other churches. And so he began to have these pastors' conferences there. And he brought in thousands of leaders from across the country and went through material with them. Then he got to thinking one step beyond that. What if I take the best material that I have and I put it together in a book and make that available? And so he did. You know, the book's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And he went on to sell about 30 million copies. That's pretty good for a bunch of old sermons, you know. But Rick Warren was unimaginably rich. And he could have retired in an island in the Caribbean. But instead, the idea seized Rick's imagination. And what if I took all this money and I spent it in the world's poorest nations, spreading the gospel, building churches and schools and clinics and training pastors and teachers and leaders? What would happen then? And he literally was trying to change the world one place at a time. And many consider this to be an impossible dream. And when Rick Warren was being interviewed on Fox News by Chris Wallace, Chris Wallace asked him, do you really think it's possible? Can one man, one church, or one ministry really heal all the hurt in the world? And you know, it seems outlandish to think so, doesn't it? You know. But at the end of that interview, Rick Warren summed it up this way. He said that his philosophy could be summed up into four words. He wanted it printed on his tombstone. At least he tried. That's what having a goal does for you. It inspires you to try. It drives your imagination, causing you to consider the possibilities of what can be instead of complaining about what isn't. That's why pursuing a God-ordained area of leadership puts you on the fast track of a God-ordained success. So where has God called you to lead? You know, you have leadership responsibilities certainly at home. You have leadership responsibilities here. Whether you're actively involved in leadership or being trained for future leadership, most of you have leadership responsibilities where you work. That also fits into God's great design for your life. You know, how do these fit into God's plan for you, of course? You know, the most important thing you can do is to nail down this issue. What is your God-ordained area of leadership? And once you've found it, then let it define you. Let it influence the way that you think and act. Let it ignite your imagination and spark your creativity. Now let it become your all-consuming passion, because pursuing a God-ordained area of leadership puts you on the fast track of a God-ordained success. And that's what we want. We want to be used by God. We want to see the big picture. We want to be imaginative and creative for the benefit of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we can change eternity.
Thank you for listening to this message from Joy Fellowship. This is our special invitation to you to join us for worship. If you are looking for a church home, we would be pleased for you to consider Joy Fellowship. Presently, our services are from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday evenings. We are located at 492 Bessie Road, Piedmont, South Carolina. You can contact us by phone at 864-845-8038. We will look forward to greeting you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.